Welcome to the Solution Focused School Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Towards Solutions, the first book published in 1995 that took the solution-focused approach into schools with kindergarten through 12th grade students. Now in its third printing, it is revised and updated and ready to go. You can purchase it at Routledge.com. I'd like to take a few minutes and share with you where the title came from, The Miracle Workers. Years ago, when I was just starting out doing workshops in schools, I did a workshop in an elementary school in Texas, and I was able to talk to teachers and staff for about 3 hours on the solution-focused approach, and they were great. They asked great questions, they practiced well, and toward the end, when it was all finished up, I walked over to the principal and thanked her for allowing me to work with her teachers and staff and told her how much I appreciated how involved they were. And she looked at me and she said, you know, they tend to be involved and they like new initiatives and they really do like kind of pushing the envelope a little bit and doing things different. And I was thinking, she said, when you were talking about the miracle question, I started thinking, you know, I have miracle workers in this school. I really do. There are teachers that teach our kids that truly, they never have issues. They never refer to me. And I noticed them actually were, a lot of them were asking you questions. I think they really got this. And she said, I was thinking, what do you think about my creating a miracle workers team for my campus? And I looked at her with excitement because I love it when people get creative with these ideas. And I said, sounds fantastic. How would you do that? And she said, well, she said, I have about 5 or 6 teachers that I know would probably grasp this. I watched them in this workshop and they were really loving it. And what if I put them together and gave them a little training and asked them to kind of be a consultant team for maybe when teachers and kids don't get along or a teacher's fed up with a kid, instead of sending them to me, I send it to them. And then it would be more like colleague to colleague talking, not principal to teacher talking. And I said, wow, this is a fantastic idea. Really was. So over the next week or two, I went back to that school and talked with the team of 5 or 6 teachers, and principal was right. They were right on target with it. They loved the idea. And after a few weeks of talking to them, they started doing their miracle workers team intervention. And for them, what it meant was they would send out notices to all teachers and let them know that they were going to be called the miracle workers team. And they were going to switch several times a year to where every teacher got to be on the miracle workers team, which I thought was fantastic because everybody had the chance to learn the ideas really well that way. And should those teachers have issues with kids, the first thing they wanted the teacher to do is to make an appointment with the miracle workers team, which would be held at a certain time, and before they ever sent the student to the principal. And so they started, and over a period of several months, they had incredible results. They followed a script that I gave them that I'm going to share with you all today. When the teacher came with the student together to the meeting, and what they saw happen was incredible. They saw that the teacher and student could build solutions together, that they could solve their own issues without ever having to go to the principal for help. And as a result, the teacher seemed to feel better about herself or himself, and the kids began to see that they could do it too. That was the beginning of the Miracle Workers team. This episode, I'm going to share with you the steps they took and how they did it and how it worked. So let's talk about the Miracle Workers team meeting. Prior to the meeting, let's say the meeting is going to be on Thursday, and maybe the teachers requested a consultation on Monday, the Miracle Workers team will send an email to the teacher and ask him or her to do just one thing before the meeting, and that is to watch out for times when, say, Sam does slightly better. The reason for that is the mindset. In most team meetings, when teachers come in to talk about kids, they're going to come in and talk about what they don't want. They'll talk about things that the child has not done well. They'll complain. They're upset. They're frustrated. This helps the teacher to refocus. And from the very beginning of the meeting, look at times when Sam has done slightly better. What else is different about this meeting is that the student is in the room with the teacher and the Miracle Workers team. And the team will typically start off by thanking both teacher and students for coming to the meeting, and then ask the teacher to let them know what she or he has noticed about Sam over the past few days. The teacher then shares with the team some things that maybe she noticed that Sam did slightly better. This sets the tone for the meeting. The Miracle Workers then proceed after that to ask both teacher and student what their best hopes are. Now, often, the students are rather surprised by a question like that. Rarely in schools do we ask kids, how do you want things to be? Instead, typically, we're telling kids what they want things to be or what needs to happen. This is a very different approach. So that question again, what are your best hopes? Asked to both teacher and student. The team looks at the teacher first and asks the teacher, again, to give them her answer or his answer. And if the answer is something like, I just need Sam to be more respectful and to stay in his seat and stop bothering other kids so I can teach. It's very, very hard in my classroom to teach with him doing these things. Now, that answer is all about the problem. The way the team switches from the problem talk to the solutions talk is by asking this question in return. So instead of that, instead of Sam doing those things, what would you like instead? Usually takes a teacher a few minutes to come up with an answer, but suppose she does, and they typically do. And the answer she might give is, well, he would come into class, sit down, start his work, and work with his teammate and not get off track. Okay, so instead of getting off track, what would he do? Well, he'd stay focused. Okay, what else would be going on? Oh, he would be respectful to me. When teachers say something like, they'll be respectful to me, you know that they're really bothered by the way a student's responding to them. And I think it's really important that we ask about that. So I love asking a teacher, what would it mean to you someday when Sam was more respectful? You often see teachers sit back and go, oh, it would make such a difference for me because I love being a teacher, but sometimes when he acts up, it's so hard and I can't teach and I don't feel like I'm being at my very best. Imagine Sam hearing that. Puts a little pressure on Sam. Maybe he didn't realize that his actions actually affected somebody like that. And the team continues. After the teacher's told the team what she wants, they look at Sam. Sam, how would you like things to be in class? Now, I admit most students have a hard time with this question. So I keep at it for a little bit, and if they still have a hard time, I go on. But I do keep asking them with all sincerity, how would you like things to be in class with your teacher? Kids will often say, I want to be good. Okay. I want to be nice. Okay. Get my work done. But those are all typical answers. I want to go a little deeper. I said, okay, so what would it mean to you? Or what would it be like for you when you start doing well in class and you're doing your assignments and you're not in trouble? Oh, it'd be good. Parents would be happy. Oh, really? How happy would they be? Like super happy or just a little happy? Oh, super happy. Okay, so be good in class. Okay, thank you. Then we go to the next step. And this is called building the preferred future. The preferred future is the answer to the miracle question. It wants to take the teacher and the student into a place where they can imagine that when they leave the office that day from the Miracle Workers team, a miracle magically happens in the hallway while they go down to the classroom. And just for that classroom that afternoon, there's going to be a miracle happening. We'll talk more about that in just a second. So after the miracle happens in the hallway, what goes on in the classroom? That's something that the miracle workers team would be asking the teacher and the student and trying to get as many specific details as possible. I like to always compare what they're doing when they find out what the miracle day will look like to a paint by number canvas. You know, those that you used to get when you were younger, you'd get a paint by number canvas and you'd have the paint matched up to the numbers on the canvas. And when you first look at that white piece of canvas with the blue lines, it was hard to see what's going to appear. But once you put in the colors, it all comes to life. And so the same thing happens with the miracle question. Before the teacher and student ever leave the office with the miracle workers team, each one describes very specifically what they will be doing just for that afternoon or week, however they decide to do it, that would tell the miracle workers team, we're doing this. We are creating the miracle. I'd be asking the student things like, what would you be doing that would tell your teacher things are going better for you? I'd be asking the teacher, what would the student be doing that would tell you things are going better? Both of them together are going to be describing what they need from each other. And that's what makes this process so unique. In other situations, a teacher would complain about a student and then be given ideas on how to address it. Or a student would be sent and be given ideas on what he'd better be doing. This one is different in that the teacher and student both come up with what they would be doing in that miracle that would tell them both, this is a miracle. As a result, ownership happens. And as a result, very often, this may be the only meeting that the teacher and student have with the miracle team. Afterwards, after the teacher and the student have given specific ideas about what that miracle will look like, the miracle workers team has taken notes. They've taken notes throughout the session, by the way. They've written down the best hopes of the teacher, the best hopes of the student, and then they've written down all of the details of what the miracle will look like. They make two copies of their notes. One goes to the teacher, the other goes to the student. They don't necessarily have to ask them, okay, how are you going to do this? Nope. Instead, they just hand the copies and say, thank you. These are some great ideas you have. We look forward to seeing what goes well for you just for the rest of the day or for the rest of the week. The team can even make a decision later about saying, how about you come back next week for a 5-minute follow-up? Or a member of the team can go check on the teacher and the student and ask a question that's very, very helpful. The question is this, what's gone better since we met? That's it. Notice how different that is than how are things going? If you ask how things are going, typically, adults will go, let me tell you, well, he didn't do so well in this and this. So we don't ask that question. Instead, what's going better? What's going well? What's going slightly better? And you keep asking until the student gives you ideas and the teacher gives you ideas. And then you just get to sit back and go, oh my goodness, that's incredible. I'm so, so pleased and so excited for you. So excited that you have found a way to reach him. Maybe say to the student, I'm so proud that you found a way to show the kind of student you can be. In other words, our teacher and students become experts in this process, and they get all the credit when the process is finished. That's what makes this model brief and efficient. So in this podcast today, I've hoped to share with you a little bit about what a solution-focused approach would look like with the Miracle Workers team. Keep in mind, this approach can be used with any team meeting, RTI, MTSS, parent conference, 504. All of those different types of meetings could benefit from this process. The important part is that bringing the system together can make more of a lasting change. You know, I hear so many teachers telling me today when I visit schools that kids are different. They're difficult. They're challenging. They don't care. The 2 years of COVID have really taken a toll on our students and our teachers. Unfortunately, Our teachers only seem to know one way to handle things, and that's the way they did before COVID. But if the kids are different, the situation is different, we too must do something different. The Miracle Workers team meeting is an example of doing something very different that I think you will find to be very efficient. May the Solution Force be with you always. I hope to see you on a next Solution Focus Connection webinar, which are held every 2 weeks. Go to my website, solutionfocusschool.com, to register. Thanks for listening. You all are very important to me.